Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this here show, the Today's Issues program on this Monday, July the 10th, 2023. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Chris Woodward.
Hello.
We want to thank everybody who were in town,
Who came to town.
Came to town. I'm trying to get my verb right there. By came to town, I mean we had our annual Marriage Family Life Conference here in Tupelo over the last 3 days, and somewhere between 1,200 and 1,300 people, Fred, were in attendance.
Yeah, and a lot of young people. It was a family conference. Moms, dads, kids.
Yeah, and we had a youth apologetics track, which is just very popular.
Yes.
And so this is an annual event. We'll be holding it next year. We'll let you know the dates, but make plans to attend if you can. And obviously, we welcome people to come by our studios, see our new place here. If they get an opportunity here in Tupelo, Mississippi, where our home base is located. But anyway, that's the annual Marriage Family Life Conference that we just completed. So we'll be planning our 2024 one pretty soon. We're not going to skip a year.
Huh? No, next year is kind of important. A few things going on.
Duly noted, Fred Jackson. Jayla Ward, our intern, one of our interns for the summer, will be with us at the bottom of the hour. We look forward to having Jayla on. She's a student at Oral Roberts University.
Yep.
And interning with us here at AFA and AFR this summer. All right. Anything else we need to say before we move to the news?
No. I think we're ready to move on. It's been another busy weekend. I'm not sure what Chris has for us this morning, but watching as the President Biden, he is going to a NATO summit, but he stopped in England this morning.
Area of England.
To have a meeting with King Charles. And
pretty good for a Southern boy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right there, what I did right there. Did you see how I did Mario England?
Some were critical that President Biden did not attend the coronation of King Charles.
Right.
Other world leaders were there.
Right.
But President Biden stayed home. So this morning there was kind of a little get-together. They had a military parade of sorts, where the president inspected the guard, I guess you would call it.
How did the inspection go?
Well,
did they pass the mustard or pass mustard?
Those guys with the big fuzzy hats, they are so disciplined. Straight ahead, do not move. And but I was watching this live this morning, and the president had a vacant look, like, am I doing this right? And all you have to do is kind of walk in front of these guys. And at one point, King Charles had to almost put his arm around President Biden to lead him back to the inspection area. And it was just one of those moments, once again, where you say, it's uncomfortable to look at the president and how he is looking and how he has to be helped and guided by someone else.
Seeing this on a regular basis, he also shuffles around. He really doesn't walk like he used to walk. And of course, as we've said before, if we live long enough, we'll all be there pretty much. You know, you get older and things happen to your mind and to your body that are inevitable.
Yeah.
Rare that the person is able to go through their life, if you live into your 80s or 90s, without having those kinds of, what would you call them, AIDS symptoms, I guess you could say.
Yeah, people get old.
Affect you. Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah. So anyway, so the president, President Biden's going to meet with NATO.
Yes, he is going to be in Lithuania. That's where the summit, the NATO summit. And this is an important summit, folks, because there are a lot of questions being raised right now about our how much in the way of military assets the United States is giving Ukraine. There's a big story out there we may get to a little bit later in the program about these cluster bombs that now the Biden administration has approved to give to Ukraine. But there's also the issue, the debate over Ukraine joining NATO. Because if Ukraine joins NATO, that changes the whole game with regards to how much NATO countries can do for Ukraine. So there's a lot on the table at this summit.
Fred, Chris, what do you know about this upcoming summit?
We've got a story on our website, which you can read. I just shared the link here and pretty much backs up everything Fred just mentioned there. Russia obviously would be hugely opposed to Ukraine joining the NATO body there. I do want to mention here the biggest item on NATO's agenda is what to do about Ukraine, which is what he just said. George W. Bush actually led this charge back in 2008, so it wouldn't be the first time a president has made a push for this, although it's much more
push timely, for what?
That Ukraine would be part of NATO.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know what to think about that whole situation exactly. I know that there are people that I respect greatly who some say we shouldn't be involved at all in the Ukrainian-Russian war. Others say, no, we need to side with Ukraine because Russia is a real threat.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my best friends says, well, the other day we were talking and he said, you know, Ukraine provoked this, right? And the Americans. And I said, what? What do you mean? He said, I won't get into all the details, but basically he was saying there was a lot of provocation on the part of the Ukrainians and the Americans in this war. So there's a lot of different opinions on this. But the bottom line is, I think that the Americans and the American taxpayer, can we afford to just keep on giving billions and billions of dollars to the Ukrainian war effort, Fred?
I know there was a story last week. We are now past 500 days in this war. And if you had to look at the situation today, is there anybody any further along? I mean, it's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. A loss of life, civilian life, particularly in Ukraine, military being assets being depleted. The big question is how to end this now. Russia has no plans to back away from this. They are getting assets now from Iran. They are getting assets from China, even though I think the Chinese tried to say they're not, but they are. And now you have the United States, the president of the United States, Joe Biden, in a public statement now saying, we're kind of getting short on our own military assets.
Mm-hmm. He said that publicly, didn't he?
He said that publicly.
We have the audio here if you want to hear it.
Where is it? What is this from?
It's Joe Biden on television telling the world that the U.S. is low on ammunition. Clip 9.
We're in a situation where Ukraine continues to be brutally attacked across the board by munitions, by these cluster munitions that have dud rates that are very, very low, very high, that are dangerous to civilians, number one. Number two, the Ukrainians are running out of ammunition. The ammunition that they call them 155 millimeter weapons. This is a war relating to munitions and the running out of that ammunition, and we're low on it.
And that's what has a lot of people concerned. The President of the United States just told the world that we are low on ammunition, this country. And how is China reacting?
A president should not be saying that out loud.
Oh, no.
That's something for the Situation Room at the White House. That's top secret information in my mind.
I think the reason that this has continued, what did you say, for 500 days?
Yes.
Shows you that his response to it globally did not work, because remember he said we're going to go after the oligarchs and therefore we're going to take all the money away from Putin's war machine. That obviously didn't work, and we're still at war, or they're still at war.
Also, if Ukraine at this point were allowed to join NATO, doesn't that make things worse?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Well, that NATO would then be obligated to go in full force with the Ukrainians against Russia. we would basically have, some would say, World War III.
Potentially. Yes. Anyway. Also, you've got, then you would have a border country, a NATO border country with Russia.
Yes. That,
huh? Mm-hmm. So, it's a mess.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how voters respond to this. Should this continue into 2024? Because there's a lot of people my age and younger that don't want to continue being involved in wars. I just turned 41. We were in Afghanistan for half my lifetime, and it got us nowhere. We just abandoned the country with people hanging off airplanes. And you had the translator last week that was working for one of the rideshare organizations that got shot and killed. Somewhere in the mid-Atlantic, that guy was brought over here to get him out of Afghanistan after working with the military, and he gets shot on the streets.
Yeah. But I think the big news right there is the President of the United States is saying out loud that we're running low on munitions because we've been giving them to the Ukrainians. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. And the other development on the ammunition side is that the Biden administration decided on Thursday or Friday of last week to now give Ukraine these cluster munitions. Now, cluster munitions, just to put it very basically, is a bomb with little bombs inside. And the reason the Biden administration is giving for this is that the Russians are using these cluster munitions. And you heard him say they have a very high dud rate. And what that means, basically, a bunch of these little bombs don't go off right away. And therefore, when the battle is over, civilians come along and many civilians are killed. Back a few years ago when Jen Psaki...
Kind of like landmines in a way.
Exactly. Back a few years ago, the Biden administration was saying it would be a human rights violation to use these cluster munitions. But now on Friday of last week, the Biden administration approved sending those to Ukraine.
We do have some audio from Colonel Bob McGinnis explaining to us at AFN why cluster bombs are dangerous to civilians here. Clip 11.
Have a large dud rate, which means that, you know, they are embedded in the soil, and then when someone accidentally disturbs them, they could go off in a day or 2 days or a year or 10 years. And so, you know, they can be very problematic to the civilian population that goes in after a battle and tries to cultivate the land or, you know, play with things and so forth with little kids.
I think the bottom line, Tim, is that 500 days into this, and there's no clear ending in sight. So now what do we do? That's the big question. What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, there's good, smart people on both sides of the argument.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Chris.
Well, let's mention this because we spent a little bit there talking about Joe Biden. One of the things that he and others that work for him on this side of the ocean are talking about is Bidenomics. That's a phrase they say the Wall Street Journal came up with referring to his economic policies, but they have since embraced it. And they've said things like, Americans are behind Bidenomics. Bidenomics is paying off. America is better today because of Bidenomics. Paraphrasing a lot there. But someone who says they're not benefiting from Bidenomics is Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio. He was on Fox News saying his district is not buying the president's claims that things are prospering here in these United States. Clip one.
It does not make sense to me to divide us and acts of service according to skin color. I can understand that sentiment.
I called the wrong number there. It is clip eight.
Listen,
if you want to play.
All right, Chris, let me explain something to you. You just called the wrong number there, right?
Yes, because I have the wrong sheet in my hand.
Let me just tell you what Peyton Manning does in a situation like that.
Omaha?
Yes, you have to yell out Omaha.
Got you.
And then you can call an audible and change the clip. So, Chris, live on radio, it's okay. Yep. We all make mistakes. You called out the wrong clip, thus Brent played it.
Right.
So the clip we heard was unrelated to the story. Do you want to call Omaha now?
I do. Omaha!
Okay, now what clip?
Clip eight.
Food is still too expensive. The price of energy is still too expensive. Putting shoes and clothes on the kids to go to school is still too expensive. the people that I represent here in rural America, they're not seeing Bidenomics as a positive thing.
Well, I don't know what the inflation rate has done. I would have to know that. I would like to know that the last couple of years since President Biden has been in office. But now gasoline did come back down. Gasoline had gone up to near $5 a gallon. Remember that?
A year ago today, it was $4.68, and that was cheaper than what it had been for a few months.
So gasoline prices have gone down, but man, everything else has just stayed up, seems like to me.
It is crazy.
And
what was interesting, late last week, President Joe Biden went to South Carolina, where the Democrats would like to hold their first primary. And he goes down there, and he uses the term Bidenomics down there, saying, you know, my policies, this is Joe Biden, my policies have even helped people who live in conservative Republican states like South Carolina. Well, the problem with that is you can talk about job creation and look at that number. But the reality is, when you look at the polls, the American people say economically we're far worse off than what we were over 4 years ago.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
And they're looking at grocery prices. They're still looking at the price of gas, which is still higher. The prices of, you know, mortgage rates are up. The cost of buying a house. So all of those sorts of things are playing into the mindset of the American people right now, who say we're not better off economically, no matter what the president tries to say.
Yeah.
A lot of people are shaking their heads saying, really, Joe Biden, you're going to go out there and you're going to try to sell your economic plan to the American people?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you're out there talking about you're going to basically still talking about getting rid of the fossil fuel industry in this country and talking about green energy. And everybody knows this country is a long way before it's even close to being ready for green energy.
More often than not, when they're asked questions about the economy and inflation and food prices and stuff like that, they always talk up the fact that they got the infrastructure bill passed.
Yes.
And that's going to lead to roads and bridges and internet and whatnot, which doesn't mean a hill of beans to a single mom out there trying to make ends meet. And she may have even voted for Joe Biden, assuming he did get tens of millions of people that voted for him.
Although I've got to say, I can't remember ever in history a president getting up there and going, you know what, people, my economic policies are horrible. We're all suffering because of it. And so I just want to confess to that right now. That's, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Well, I called the wrong clip, so who am I to judge?
Next question. Yeah, you did. Next question. They all say, no, things are good and looking up, and we're on a positive track. So, all right, you're listening to Today's Issues, Next Story.
Now to the clip I accidentally called a moment ago, but
Omaha,
let me set it up.
Omaha.
All right, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was nominated by President Joe Biden after his election inauguration, she continues to make headlines based on some claims that she made in the recent opinion on that affirmative action case. The Supreme Court, for those not aware, recently told colleges and universities, you can't base admissions off race and skin color. We're therefore going to overturn affirmative action. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was concerned about this. She is one of the people out there thinking that if we're going to overturn affirmative action, that may cause fewer black people to be able to go to college and become things like doctors. And in her opinion on this, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson said, among other things, for high-risk black newborns, having a black physician more than doubles the likelihood that the baby will live and will not die. So in a nutshell, what she is saying is affirmative action is going to lead to harm and death amongst black people and black babies. And I have some reaction.
Okay. Who are we getting the reaction from?
This is from Dr. Alveda King, the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., in the clip you heard a little bit of a moment ago. Clip one.
It does not make sense to me to divide us in acts of service according to skin color. I can understand that sentiment. I get it. But it is an error because skin color does not define us. Skin color simply sometimes defines ethnicity. We need genuine, true science, genuine truth based on foundational truths that can be found in the Bible. And if we're all being taught that, then we should be able to accept that we are one blood and one human race.
I don't understand. So the Ketanji
Brown Jackson.
Brown Jackson, the recently appointed and confirmed Supreme Court Justice, who replaced Ruth Bader Ginsburg, true?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Okay, so.
Well, actually, Amy Coney Barrett replaced Ginsburg.
Oh, that's right.
Brown Jackson replaced the other justice.
Paul McCartney.
There you go.
Who's the other justice
Brown
to
Jackson.
Be named later?
I'm looking it up because I don't want to. Stephen Breyer. Blanked on his name. She replaced Stephen Breyer.
No. I don't.
Amy Coney Barrett replaced Ginsburg. That would cause the left to go nuts.
Stephen Breyer was the one that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway. All right. Anyway. So.
It's been a lot of news in the last
years. Yeah. Wow. And a lot of changeover on the Supreme Court. But all the Supreme Court did was say, listen, you can't use ethnicity or skin color to determine who gets into college and colleges and universities. And also, there are some places in society you can't hide your abilities. All right. Medical school is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You can't, we should allow, the cream of the crop should rise to the top, so to speak. And without regard to what people look like or their skin color. And to suggest, as she is right here, that because you don't have a person's black or brown doctor, that more brown and black babies are going to die, seems ridiculous to me. That's suggesting that white doctors don't care about children of color.
That's basically what she says.
And what facts do you have to back that up? Yes. I mean, that's. If that were going on and that were true, you'd have lawsuits all over the place. So I don't buy that at all. And go ahead.
You know, and she was using her claim, and I just want to read. She said, quote, "For high-risk black newborns, having a black physician more than doubles the likelihood that the baby will live and not die." Hard to believe. Again, there's no proof for this, but she was apparently using this amicus brief from a group of lawyers representing medical colleges. The brief stated that for high-risk black newborns, having a black physician is tantamount to a miracle drug. It more than doubles the likelihood that the baby will live. And again, they provided, to the best of my knowledge, no proof. Where are the numbers showing this?
That's just liberal progressive garbly gook.
Yes.
That's all it is.
And they put it out there. But it's not challenged by the mainstream media.
Yeah, because they believe it, too. They just buy it unquestioned because they are themselves, the vast majority of the mainstream media are themselves liberal/progressives.
They're believing in the narrative.
Yeah.
They're believing in the narrative.
Which is false.
But you cannot prove
right.
What was said.
Yeah, you would think in a Supreme Court justice opinion you would have documentation.
Yes.
And you're saying she didn't provide any?
No.
Yeah, okay.
There's nothing.
All right, we got to take a break right here, a timeout, and we'll be back. J-Lo Ward will be with us, our summer intern, coming up in just a few minutes. And we got a lot of other news and information and stuff to cover right here on Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR, Tim, Fred, and Chris, and we thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, The address is comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. And joining us now in studio is Jayla Ward. Jayla is one of our summer interns. Good morning, Jayla.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Hey, to remind people, now you are a student at
Oral Roberts University.
And you're what year?
I'm a junior.
You're a junior. How much student debt have you accumulated?
Actually, none. I have a scholarship, so I have a
well. Praise the Lord!
I have a pretty nice scholarship, so I'm very, very thankful
kid.
For that.
Smart kids.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to answer that because that's a personal question. But student debt's been in the news so much recently. But so, what are you majoring in there?
I'm majoring in history and philosophy.
History and philosophy. Which one do you like best?
Well, it's a combined major, so if anything, I like both equally because you can't really know philosophy without knowing the history of, you know, where it came from. So, right.
Who's your favorite philosopher?
You know, you asked me that a couple of weeks ago, and I still don't have
you've had 2 weeks to think about it.
I've been a little busy with the conference, but next time you ask me, next week, I will definitely have an answer. I'll write it down, and I'll be like, okay.
Okay.
George Orwell, actually, maybe.
Okay.
I do like Animal Farm, and I'm reading 1984 right now. So
and you also play instruments, true?
I play several instruments, yes.
Yeah. You know, like what? Give me one or two that you play.
I've been playing the violin for over 10 years. So, if anything, that's my primary. And then I've been kind of learning piano and guitar. So.
Okay, this is not fair for you to be this talented. All right, so we gave you an assignment each week to give us a report on a topic that would be of interest to our listeners, and this week you came up with what?
So I have a topic here that really did interest me, and I think a lot of people will find this not only interesting but also hopeful.
Okay.
So in Montgomery County, the public schools are starting to teach...
Maryland?
Yes, Montgomery County, Maryland. The public schools are also implementing LGBTQ curricula.
And slash propaganda, but go ahead.
Very true, yes. Propaganda. And so you should be typically allowed to opt your children out of learning this information.
Right.
And the public schools are not allowing the parents to opt their students out. And so because of that, parents who were not just Christian, but Muslim families, Hindu families, Jewish families, Christian families are all coming together to let the school boards know that they're not okay with this, not only because this isn't just regular education, this is propaganda, but also because it goes against their religious beliefs. So you're not just having Christians talk about this, but you're also having Muslims talk about this. And so we actually have a clip, which is Ismael. His name is Ismael Royer, and he was on Laura Ingraham a couple of weeks ago talking about how this is not just a political issue. This is a parent issue. And he explains how this is all these different religious beliefs
this
are coming
is a Muslim,
together.
Muslim fellow?
So he is Muslim, yes. Okay. Right. So it's clip 13.
It has nothing to do with targeting any kind of people for their morality. It's just about parents not wanting their own children to be indoctrinated into a morality that they don't share. And what you saw today was Muslims and Ethiopian Orthodox, Catholics, Protestants,
that.
All of us together. You know, you had Christians with large wooden crosses. You had Muslims standing right next to them, and all of them saying, "God, we fear God, we love God."
Also, this is going. That's Montgomery County, Maryland.
Yes,
where the public school system there. That's a liberal state, but here you have parents. Maybe they're not necessarily conservative politically. Who knows? But you have parents who are. The point was parents who are Muslim and Christian and other, who are standing up together in big numbers, saying no. This has nothing to do with reading, writing, arithmetic.
Yeah,
you're trying to push an LGBT. Propaganda to a captive audience, which are our children, and we disagree with it. We don't want it, and we're standing up to speak against it. This also is going on in other parts of the country. Los Angeles, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you had a large contingent of, was it Armenian? Or anyway, it was people who were immigrants to the U.S., recent immigrants, and they're saying, no, we don't want this. Mm-hmm. This is going on in other places across the country.
Yeah, Michigan.
In Michigan,
Hamtramck, Michigan.
Yeah.
There was a city council meeting. Hamtramck, Michigan has a very large Muslim population, and they had a city council meeting near the start of Pride Month, the month of June. And they said, well, you know, we don't want, you know, drag queens marching through our streets in this town. It's not that we want any physical damage to take place against LGBTQ people, but we don't want your value system imposed on our city.
Right.
Yeah. So this is actually fascinating. And the backdrop to all of this, you have the Biden administration, you have the radicals in the teachers union and the education system mm-hmm. that want to impose a value system that is contrary to what most American families approve of.
Yeah.
And this is fascinating, this story that you brought to us, Jayla.
Well, there are two other really interesting points. So first off, one of the parents that was interviewed by Fox, she was saying how the education within the schools itself is deteriorating. So they're not spending as much money on education and their test scores are lowering, but they're spending so much more money on these LGBTQ.
That's a good point.
Infographics yes. and books and everything like that. And then secondly, you have city council members who, particularly this one, Krista Mink, I think it's Krista or Christina, Kristen Mink. Yeah. She equated,
in Montgomery County.
Yeah, so she's okay. in Montgomery County from that school board. Okay. And she equated the Muslims who are trying to protect their children that they are, and she said that they are siding with white supremacists. Now, of course, as we talked about, minorities are typically a protected group within the Liberal Party. But for her to say that, she ended up having to backtrack and apologize because, you know, there's now they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say because Muslims, it's not just Christians that are saying this. It's
right.
Muslims.
What she's saying is a false narrative. But she's saying only white supremacists could be in disagreement with promoting the LGBT propaganda in the schools. And then, so you're right. So then when you have Muslims out there from around the world immigrated to Maryland County, Maryland, and they're standing up for the very same things that a lot of Christians do, white and otherwise, that is, we don't want this promoted in our schools. They don't know what to do with these folks because they can't call them when they're over here from Afghanistan or Somalia or somewhere else, and they can't call them white supremacists very well.
You can't call them bigots. You can't call them racist.
Right.
You can't
because then you're Islamophobic.
Exactly. You can't say they're homophobic and then also make that statement, and then you're being Islamophobic. It's a circle.
Yeah.
But the
big overarching story is here, there's a great pushback across the country against this indoctrination being promoted in the public schools for LGBTQ. I know in Florida, you know, that was in the news a few months back because the legislature there passed a law. First of all, it was third grade and under, but I think it's going to 12 and under, that you cannot use the schools to promote the LGBTQ agenda. Now, it's more specific than that. The legislature made it more specific than that. That's when Governor DeSantis signed that law.
Mm-hmm.
The original one, again, was third grade and under, third graders and under in the state of Florida. We're not going to talk to them about sex, period. That's basically what they said.
Right.
Yep.
And that's when the world came down on Governor DeSantis' head and said, hey, you signed a don't say gay law. That, so they turned it into, we're not going to talk about sex at all, third grade and under. To you're telling a second grader they can't say gay in the schools, which was not.
That's false.
It was a false narrative. They were trying to make it an anti, as if Governor DeSantis and the state legislature of Florida were bigots.
This presents a real problem for the Democratic Party. This all started in Loudoun County, Virginia.
Right. I remember that. Yeah.
When the parents found out because their kids were zooming into classroom during the pandemic, parents found out what their kids were being taught, to your point, Jayla, that they weren't being taught math and they weren't being taught reading skills, things you need to get a job later on.
Exactly.
They were being indoctrinated on critical race theory and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. The parents rose up, and I know there were Democrat parents who were rising up with Republican parents and saying, I don't want my kids. And then on top of that, in Loudoun County, you had the case of the school district being made aware of a boy who said he was a girl using the girls' washrooms, and a sexual assault took place. And the school district simply moved the guy to another school where he did the same thing. And parents became outraged.
And this is all in the name of education.
Yes.
This is an education.
And, of course, on top of that, we found out that the school district there in Loudoun County got a hold of the Attorney General of the United States. And we want you to write something against these parents. Describe them as being dangerous, as domestic terrorists.
Yeah.
That's one of the main reasons that the Republicans took over the top three leadership positions in the state of Virginia, including the governorship with Youngkin.
Yes.
Because of this very issue.
Yeah.
It was one of the big issues.
The American people are saying enough.
Yeah.
And right. And it crosses, it's not just Christians, it's other religions who really care about their kids.
And I think that's the encouraging thing about this story and other stories around the country, is that Christians, if anything, have been so isolated by the media about this topic, and it's not just Christians. And on the show, Laura Ingraham had mentioned this, but she said that there's more of us who have faith-based morals that can stand up against these types of propaganda, this type of agenda, and we can push back against the school boards if we come together and rally together. And if anything, this is unlikely allies in very important places.
Yeah, especially again, when you look at the test scores on real academic subjects being so poor in many of these states, and then you say, well, we're going to devote time to promote a leftist political agenda, you know.
And mind you, Montgomery County is one of the wealthiest
in the country.
Districts in not in Maryland and in the country. So for you to have low test scores, but then you're spending all this money elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Jayla, appreciate you bringing that topic to our attention. And
great.
And so how many more weeks you got here with us now?
Two or three. I'm done by the end of the month.
All right. You're going to take a week or so off between internship and school? Or
I'm going to try to. I'm going to go home. I'm going to get to see my family and hang out with them.
In Texas, right?
Yes, I'm in Dallas.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, that's Jayla Ward, one of our summer interns. How many interns y'all got over there, Fred?
We've got two in the newsroom. Jayla came to join us, and she's just been doing a great job for us.
Yeah.
And we have another young man.
Benjamin.
Benjamin. Yeah.
A lot of people are unaware of this, but we have a lot of content from both Benjamin and Jayla airing pretty much on a daily basis. So they are doing great work for us from about noon through the end of the day in terms of providing us scripts and stories to air.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Next story. And by the way, before we get to your next story, Chris, have you heard about this this dust storm from the Sahara?
Yeah. I read about it.
This is like a movie, a bad movie.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this dust storm from the Sahara, I'm talking Africa Sahara.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Is heading towards Florida, potentially reducing temperatures and lowering air quality. But there are some other states, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, I'm guessing more along the Gulf Coast area, that this dust storm is going to affect. Chris, do you know anything? Chris, you want to go down there and do a report for us?
I will be happy to. I will also be happy to go to Omaha if I have to.
We got the Canadian wildfires affecting the air quality in the northeastern part of the country. Mm-hmm. Now we got the Sahara Desert. You wouldn't think that would be possible.
No.
Nope. Carried by the winds. Right across.
Yeah.
I have shared a link to a Weather Channel report on this. So those that are looking at our Facebook page, look through the comments, but also the Facebook page itself, because the Weather Channel has a video detailing kind of a graphic showing this big mound of dirt, dirt in the air, moving across the ocean towards the U.S.
Jerry, do you know anything about this?
Do I know anything about this?
Yeah. Make something up.
You know, this happened several years ago, actually. I don't remember when. I was probably middle school or high school, but it had traveled across the ocean, and we ended up seeing haze in Texas. because of it. But it was several years ago. But I do remember it happening. So it might just be a once every 4 or 5 years type of situation.
Well, you know, there's jet streams.
Yeah, that's true too.
Planes use jet streams at very high levels, carries them along. But sometimes jet streams can move. You know, the storms that turn into hurricanes come from the North African coast.
Yeah.
They move across. That's why we're able to track them, and they get into the warm waters of the Gulf and the Caribbean and heat up and give us
years ago when I was working in television in Birmingham, there was a big wildfire somewhere either in Georgia or Florida. But the smoke was so bad that you could smell something on fire in Birmingham. And people were calling the police, calling the fire department. The police scanners were just lit up with people. I smell smoke. I smell smoke. And, you know, we were having to go every weather segment saying, if you smell smoke outside, it's because of what's going on in another state.
I feel bad for those people who plan their family vacation on the beach.
Yeah, first it's sharks. Now it's now it's dirt.
It does seem like a scary movie on like sci-fi. From the people that brought you Sharknado comes Sahara Sand.
Well, the sharks.
Not in the fires.
Sharks are getting bolder.
Yes.
They're just, I don't think sharks know that they're getting bolder, but they're coming closer to the shore.
My philosophy is stay out of the ocean. A lot of things keep happening in the ocean. Yeah. I think the ocean's trying to send us a message.
You can't get bit if you're not in the ocean,
That's
right?
what I'm saying. Go to the mountains or something.
Okay.
Yes.
Or go. You can go ankle deep, I guess. You can go ankle deep. But, yeah, it says that this dust from the Sahara is heading toward Florida and some other of the southern states and will arrive, get hit by the cloud, I guess, later this week.
Yep.
Something like
Alabama
that.
Coastline, Mississippi coastline. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those areas.
Yeah. All right. So that's more happy news for us, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Chris, next story.
Well, this one falls under the category of head scratchers. But a Democratic-backed bill in California that's making its way through the legislature there would require judges in the state to consider a convicted criminal's race when determining how long to sentence them. Assemblymember Reggie Jones Sawyer, the Democratic chair of the California Assembly's Public Safety Committee, introduced Bill 852 back in February, and now it's making the rounds and it's going through the news. I'm looking into whether or not this is legal. I would guess no, but stick around here for some comments.
Where is this happening, Chris?
In California.
Need we say more?
This is not going to stand. It will not stand. You can't have people being put in prison for 4 years because of their skin color and another person with a different skin color.
We're back. We've come full circle.
Yes.
We're back to promoting segregation.
After billions of dollars being spent on things. Jayla and I are from a generation that has literally grown up. We've never known a world that didn't have the Department of Education saying, rightfully, you shouldn't judge people based on their skin color. And after billions of dollars being pumped into the education system, we have gone full circle, which is why it's great that you have a history degree, because we need more people learning from it so we don't repeat the same mistake.
What was it that Chief Justice John Roberts said in the decision on affirmative action? You cannot fight racism with racism.
Yeah.
Right.
He just, that was it. You can't fight it.
Yeah.
You can't fight racism with racism. And I just can't see an appeal, if it ever makes it into law, I can't see an appeals court or a case going to the Supreme Court. This is not going to fly.
There's a reason they say California is the home of fruits and nuts.
And many of them get elected.
Well, many people don't realize this about California, but based on the way their governing body is structured, a governor there doesn't have to sign something for it to become law. I don't know if it's every bill, but at least with some bills, it can just simply sit on the governor's desk, and at some point it becomes law whether he or she actually signs off on it or not.
Let me just hasten to say there are millions and millions and millions of Californians who are patriotic, God-fearing, common-sense people, but they're just outnumbered right now in the Golden State by 60 to 40 probably. Whacked out liberals that just do nutty stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about laws and policies and so forth, especially at a, you know, at a state level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I've had family members go to Bible college out there. There's a college in Lancaster, a Bible college there. I've got relatives in the northern part of the state. And you're right. It's often kind of, oh, California, but there's a lot of at least centrist Democrats that are not the Nancy Pelosi's of the world that are like, hey, this is silly here.
Basically, you got the greater Los Angeles and the greater San Francisco area that control the state politically because there's so many people there and they're far left cities.
I do want to say
yes
that this is ironic, kind of to Chris's point as well, but you know, a lot of liberals and a lot of this like secular humanist ideas that man is inherently good, but then into a lot of policies and a lot of this argumentation is that man is inherently good, which we know that man is inherently evil. But when
the Bible says the heart is wicked above all things. So the sin nature of man is what you're talking about.
Yeah. So the heart is naturally evil as we know that, but they can't have their cake and eat it too by saying that man is inherently good and it's just circumstance that makes you evil, while also saying that your skin color is what makes you worth giving you more of a longer sentence. And so it's definitely this contradiction that we're seeing just in history. And like you said, it's coming full circle where we're like, that you can't have it both ways.
But now some colleges and universities, the really whacked out ones, are having graduation ceremonies based on skin color.
They are segregating graduations. They're segregating classes. They are saying that
grammar... That's exactly what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. fought against.
Exactly. And they're saying grammar is racist, so they're teaching lower versions of grammar. California proposed a bill several years ago talking about lowering the bar exam for black test takers, which, if anything, is more racist, in my opinion, because you're saying that black people, if anything, are not smart enough to take the bar and pass.
It's insulting.
It is extremely insulting.
Yes. Yeah. Well, all right, Chris, you got 5 minutes. Can you not bring forth unto us some good news?
Normally, I'm the minister of doom and gloom.
Yeah, well.
I will say this. I do not have this audio, so I'm not going to wrongfully call for this clip, Brent. But Utah's governor is in the headlines today. He's been very critical of organizations, including the American Medical Association, which is one of the many medical bodies out there pushing things like the gender manipulation of minors. But Governor Spencer Cox says, hey, this is not scientific. We need more information out there. It's actually harmful what many people and politicians are wanting to do to states. And so I bring this up because, unfortunately, we have many governors like Gavin Newsom and others that think this is a great thing. But Spencer Cox says he begs to differ.
You don't have a sound clip from that?
I do not.
And why is that?
Well, we try to max it out around a certain number every day. And
you should have maxed it out one more, just so we could hear from Governor. But you do a great job,
Chris. I'll share the link, though.
Okay. But what did he say?
Basically,
he's saying, the governor of Utah is saying what now?
He does not agree with the American Medical Association, which thinks gender manipulation of minors is fine. It's not harmful to kids. He says they're political and we need more actual scientific organization,
American Medical Association.
Yes. Which has gone to the left for a long time now. I've been here 13 years, and we've pretty much done some sort of crazy AMA story for most of my time.
Mm-hmm. There is the Christian Medical and Dental Association.
Indeed.
If you're looking to be a part of a professional group that's Christian-based and you're in the medical or dental profession, check them out. They're good friends of ours. We haven't talked to them in a long time. Maybe it's time to have them back on.
Dr. Jeff Barrows is one of their head.
Is it still called the Christian Medical and Dental Society?
It is. CMDA for short.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anyway, they're located, I think their home base is in Bristol, Tennessee, or Bristol, Virginia, up that way.
But it's all, you know, connected to what we were just talking about with Jayla. The American people are waking up to the far-left agenda. And what it means. It's one thing to talk about it, but they're trying to implement this. This idea in some jurisdictions that schools who have an 8-year-old boy who shows up and says, I feel like a girl today, school districts saying, we're not going to tell the parents, but we're going to start treating. Some of the testimonies that we've heard, some doctors are starting to treat these 8- and 9-year-olds with mom and dad knowing.
Well, some of those doctors are going to be sued out of practice.
This is criminal.
Yeah.
This is criminal.
If you're doing that without parental consent.
Yes.
You shouldn't be able to do it with parental consent on a minor. Mm-hmm. I don't think some kind of surgical.
Yes,
that's irreversible.
Well, even chemistry, even pharmaceuticals.
All right. Thank you, Jayla.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
All right, Chris did a great job today.
Omaha.
Okay. Hey, won't be long now to football season.
That's right.
What do we got? About 6 weeks, 7 weeks, something like that.
Ish. Yeah.
All right. We will return in 5 minutes. Hey, Steve Jordahl will be with us. I went to see the movie Sound of Freedom. Sound or sounds?
Sound.
Plural?
Sound. It's just sound.
Singular. Anyway, I went to see that movie. And we're going to talk about that with Steve Jordahl in a few minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.